Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome in. What is the start of a beautiful day here at Far East Plaza? Just a great stop-off point. Thanks to Chickie and Pete's. Every year they engage in something here, and this year the weather has cooperated. So when you stop off, if you're headed down now or any time during the show, Chickie and Pete's will give away free orders of their world-famous crab fries from the Far East Plaza. And there's an express food truck here. Plus, they're hosting an outdoor celebration, complimentary food and drink from people like Hershey's Ice Cream, Mars, Carlo's Bakery, Apple Green, Monster Energy Drink. And also, this will include the Funny Farm Rescue Sanctuary for Kids, Dalmatian Puppies. There are New Jersey State Police Canine Dog Team. There are New Jersey State Police on horseback here. It is an unbelievable operation. So stop by, say hello. You'll see us right in front of the building, right where the farmer's market is, which is always good stuff. A lot of great flowers, plants, and a bunch of different things. But, of course, during all this, we'll do a regular show. You can call in. We have our annual great guest showing up, people that are connected to Memorial Day. Joey Jones, Fox News Channel, has a brand-new book out. And this year on Memorial Day, or as we move toward Memorial Day, a lot of emphasis on Afghanistan. The feelings of Afghan veterans, the feelings of the withdrawal that has never had a day of reckoning. Biden just continues to move on. And that's what Joey Jones' book is about. Colonel Alan West here. We'll also talk with Mayor Pete. You know that Wildwood has banned, allegedly, we'll break them down, has banned alcohol drinking on the any sort on the beach and on the boardwalk. So we'll have that with him. And the mayor of North Wildwood, hopefully, is going to stop by at 2:30 because key thing, they've been in a battle with the state on how to bulkheads, beach erosion, things of that nature. And I think they've won. I think they've been able to push back on this effectively. So we will talk with him throughout that. We got a great side question. A couple things, though. One, we got a lot more information now, DeSantis and Trump. And, guys, this will be cut 10. They're duking it out on who did what with COVID. Now, I don't think either one of them are going to be effective with what they're doing when it comes to blaming the other on COVID. All right? To summarize, what DeSantis is doing is he's saying Trump handed everything over to Fauci. Well, Fauci was in charge. There's truism there. And Trump could have fired him and didn't. But are Trump supporters going to hold that against Trump in any meaningful way? No, they're not. I'm not sure who DeSantis is trying to persuade with that. I'll play it, though. Trump is trying to tell us that DeSantis wasn't wildly successful in Florida by keeping the economy going, schools opening, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and was right on top of the medical information and got it right. I don't care who you support. There's no way you're going to convince me that DeSantis was not right on the money when it came to dealing with COVID in Florida. Not right exactly on the money. Couple columnists I like today, too, making the point that the Republican Party is stronger by these two gearing up to duke it out during the primaries. And I agree with that. DeSantis playing to Iowa also, talking on several interviews, national interviews he's done in conservative media. He's the one that cares about the life of kids, the unborn, with the six-week heart week bill, and that's not harsh and all the rest of it. You know how I feel about that. That's a loser politically. He actually said yesterday 99% of pro-life people agree with him. Well, I don't agree with him when it comes to winning on that. You're not going to win on that at this point. It's incrementalism that works. So let's start. Here's President Trump actually trying to convince us, this will be cut 10, that Cuomo did better than DeSantis when it came to the issue of COVID.
When the Ron DeSanctimonious facts come out, you will see that He's better than most Democrat governors, but very average at best compared to Republican governors who have done a fantastic job. How about the fact that he had the third most deaths of any state having to do with the China virus or COVID? Even Cuomo did better. He was number four. He shut down everything, including the beaches. Other Republican governors didn't do that. They kept it open. It was their choice. I gave them all their choice. The Democrats blew it big. A lot of Republican governors did a fantastic job. And look at Disney and what a mess it is. Could have worked out an easy settlement, but no, he wanted to show the fake news how tough a guy he is. He's not. And the whole Disney thing is really very unfortunate. Now thousands and thousands of jobs are being stopped, and a lot of people are very upset about it. Thank you.
All right. That's completely out of bounds. Even if you're a Trump supporter, it's not only factually wrong, it's out of bounds. You think President Trump should be siding with Disney against DeSantis? Now, that you are drinking beyond Kool-Aid. You're injecting it if you believe that. Just because, overall, you support Trump, I get it. But during the course of these next months, isn't it fair to say, I still support this guy, but I see your point on either DeSantis or Trump? That's ridiculous. And it's undercutting. The Disney stuff is out of bounds. We ought to be united about that, don't you think? All right. Now, DeSantis is trying to make the point, this will be cut 12, that somehow or another, Trump turned it over to Fauci. Now, Trump was in a tough spot. We didn't know about COVID, et cetera. But it seems to me that Trump does not like to fire people. In this case, he could have with Fauci, just as he could have with Christopher Wray, or not pick Christopher Wray. He did fire Comey, to his credit. But what about Trump and Fauci? Even if there's a little bit of a hint of fact here, I don't think Trump supporters are going to even a little bit say, yeah, you're right. You handled COVID better. I'm going to vote for you. So here's DeSantis talking about this idea that Trump turned this over to Fauci.
I think he did great for 3 years, but when he turned the country over to Fauci in March of 2020, that destroyed millions of people's lives. And in Florida, we were one of the few that stood up, cut against the grain, took incoming fire from media, bureaucracy, the left, even a lot of Republicans, had schools open, preserved businesses. And so Florida, since COVID, has outperformed virtually any state in the country when you look at all these significant metrics. I mean, we're booming. We've got people moving in here. Wealth is coming in here. And so I think when people look back, you know, that 2020 year was not a good year for the country as a whole. It was a situation where Florida started to stand alone. So I think that that's important contrast.
All right. Both are going back. Look, I think the COVID thing is a qualification for these two running for president. DeSantis being criticized. Let's not go back to 2020 and through that period of time. We haven't had a reckoning on COVID. Is that going to be determinative? No, I don't think it's. The one metric that's going to be determinative is who can beat, to me, Joe Biden, looking at the swing states. Take your top five, six or seven, there might be potential swing states. Which one defeats Biden there? And that's the answer. And we're only going to know that over time, and we're going to need a lot of information on that. And I think the Trump base is more wedded to Trump than any DeSantis base, which might be slightly anti-Trump rather than pro-DeSantis. So how in the world does he make up the deficit? All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. Are you really believing Ron DeSantis didn't do a brilliant job in Florida with COVID? On the other hand, are you believing that Trump willy-nilly turns it over to Fauci, the DeSantis criticism, and thereby he wouldn't have done that? He would have been outside that, okay? One other cut here. This is DeSantis. This will be cut 11, guys. This is Ron DeSantis. Also talking about Trump again and talking about, and in that you've heard him say 3 good years. That's going to be his tactic. He's not going to frontal assault Trump. He knows that would be not factually correct. And also with the Trump base would be way out of line. He's going to give credit, but then pivot to the difference between the two. And are we or are we not stronger with the two of them going through the primaries? Yes, I don't think there's any doubt about that, because going through that will tell us who is better suited to defeat Joe Biden. Here's a little bit more of DeSantis.
Now we're going to be launching a blitz. We're going to be in these early states. We're really going to be all over the country bringing this message to our voters. And I think at the end of the day, most of our voters obviously appreciate a lot of the things President Trump did. I do. I mean, he's been attacking me a lot, but I still give him credit for the things that he did well, especially, you know, with the economy in the first 3 years. But they also understand that you need someone that can serve two terms. You need somebody that's going to be able to win and win big. And so I think we have a lot of folks that will consider somebody like me, who has proven to be very strong. You know, I'm standing up to people like Disney, and with due respect to the former president, he's taking Disney's side in this now. I'm standing against Disney. I'm standing for the kids. I'm standing for the parents. I don't think these kids should be sexualized. We took away their self-governing status, and I'm not backing down one inch from that. I think our voters want to see somebody that can fight, but also somebody that can win.
All right, DeSantis is going to be emphasizing the winning part of it due to 2020. We know where that goes, probably a dead end, because the Trump base believes that the election was fraudulent. That's going to be the response to it, versus DeSantis doing overwhelmingly well in Florida. All right, 855-839-1210. We got a great, by the way, DeSantis said he would consider issuing pardons. More than consider, he seemed to be pretty much on board for the January 6th defendants, some of them, if he's elected president. So he's kind of checked that box, not as strongly as President Trump did, but he did kind of check that box. All right. In addition to everything else, great side question today. Give us your all-time, at the end of your call, I mean, this moment with Trump and DeSantis is finally here. Here's the moment to tell us how you're hoping this plays out, meaning how the two go at each other. I'm fine with it so far. I don't think any of it's out of bounds. I think in the end it'll be stronger. It will test both, and it will show who can beat Biden in the swing states. Doesn't have to be overall, those national polls. It's not that. It's the swing states. Who has it in those five or six critical states, and Pennsylvania's the biggest? What is it about their persona, their policies, that would defeat Biden? All right, so side question today. We mentioned this to you all throughout the week. It's always a lot of fun to talk pet peeves. Give us a pet peeve that you have that's the kickoff of summer, vacation-related, summer-related. Now, I'm the biggest defender of summer, without a doubt. I love summer. It's the best time of the year. Summertime and the living is easy. I know there are people that just the slightest mention of heat, though, they're out. The beach. Do you have a beach that is a beach faux pas, a beach concern, pet peeve? And barbecue. What do you bring to a barbecue? And if you're holding one or someone else is, it's usually in those areas, you know. Do you bring beer? And if you do, what kind of quality? Do you drink other beer that's there that's better than your beer? Heard somebody talk about that this week. It was good stuff. All right, mine is more and more leaf blowers. More and more leaf blowers. I hate the leaf blower in any time of the year, but when you get into late spring, early summer, the leaf blower is omnipresent. It's just all over the place. It's brutal. I don't hear any here, but the day is young. I mean, the rest of the locale here seems to be okay. No leaf blower spotted yet. You jump in, we put your name into the hat. Dan will draw a winner for Captain Chuckie's WeLoveCrabCakes.com toward the tail end of the show. We got Alan West coming up. We got Joey Jones coming up. And we're also going to talk with Mayor Pete about this banning of alcohol in Wildwood. It's making regional, if not national, news. 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. 855-839-1210. That'll get you on board. Now, I'm at the Faraway Plaza right in the front of the building. Can't miss it when you come up from the parking lot. And this is a tremendous year. Really big crowd here. The weather cooperating. As I said, Chicky and Pete's will be here from noon until 6. And they'll give away free orders from noon until 5, free orders of the world-famous crab fries at the Faraway Plaza from the Crab Fries Express food truck you'll see here. Also, there's all kinds of free things from Hershey's and Monster Drink and a great festival atmosphere. You got to pop over here 15 or 20 minutes if you're headed to the shore. And between 5 and 6, they'll pay the toll here right above Farley Plaza, an annual tradition that's a great benefit and a great value. All right, you get in right now, though, at 855-839-1210. I'm halfway to the shore. Rich is the farther point of the shore today. We got you covered on what annually is the biggest event. And I've done Farley Plaza stuff at least 10 or 11 times. This is probably the best weather, the best number of things to do. They always have a great farmer's market here. I mean, just beautiful stuff. So stop on by. You'll see us pitch right in front. Get some free crab fries, and don't forget the tolls between 5 and 6 today being paid by Chickie and Pete's. It is an annual great event. All right, you can get in at 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all you have to do is push pound 1210. Side question today, hit us with that pet peeve barbecue summer. Sure, vacation, since today encompasses all them. At the end of your call, let's go to our buddy Scott in Mount Laurel on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Scott, afternoon.
Hey, Dom, how's it going? I like the way DeSantis is handling it so far, that he's not attacking Trump. He's just pointing out things that were different. He's staying very factually. It's kind of like you always talk about with DeSantis. He's got a very surgical, precise way of making his points.
But Scott, I got to differ a little bit. I don't think that's going to work. You don't think during the debate there's got to be a moment where he faces him off if he's got a shot?
Well, he's going to have to face him off with facts and say, you know, like I think turning the country over to Fauci is true. And I think if he
wait a minute, Scott. Now let's slow down on that one. Technically, Fauci was in charge of this, but boy, Trump pushed back on him, at least publicly. So do you think that cuts through with persuadable Trump voters? You need about 8 to 10% of those, I'd say.
I don't know what's going to cut through. Some of the Trump voters are going to vote for Trump no matter what. I mean, I have no problem with Trump. I like Trump. If he wins, I'll be happy to support him in the general. I'd be happy to have him as president again. I'm really undecided. You know, I mean, I'll go with whoever comes out. What I want to see is a civil debate, which is hard, you know, depending on who's in it.
But the other point is I do like, I don't know if the country wants to in this primary, I do like, to your point, Scott, a day of reckoning over who did what in COVID. That was an acid test. And every time Trump tries to attack what DeSantis did in Florida, it looks to me to be just stupid. I mean, it's you got to concede that what he did in Florida was almost miraculous.
Yeah, it's so disingenuous. I mean, you know, Trump should be running on the fact that, hey, he did a great job when he was president and, you know, and all these things. And I guess he can pick things that he differs with on DeSantis. So far, the things that he's tried to distinguish with DeSantis, I haven't agreed with him. You know, I don't think that DeSantis did a bad job on COVID. And, you know, I don't think he's, you know, sanctimonious and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, the other thing we've always thought about over the last few years is that if we want to get stuff done, we got to, you know, do the incremental approach. We don't come out and make a big production over it. What we do is we keep it quiet, but silently, we little by little, incrementally, we get things done.
That's exactly right. I'm in agreement with you. But I don't have a problem with this. That this is we need to see the test of fire here and then determine who in the swing states. That's a big thing, Scott, I'm going to be emphasizing. Don't look at the national polls, Trump, Biden, DeSantis, Biden. Look at Pennsylvania, for example. Drill down on the innards of that. And that's how you make a determination of who can beat Biden.
I agree that I want to see him go. I don't have any problem with them going at it. And I'm just saying, from what I've seen so far, I feel like that Trump is not making good arguments on his side. But I do agree with you. When you look at those swing states, that abortion bill, I'm so worried about that, because even if DeSantis gets up and says, hey, look, it's a state-by-state issue and I'm not going to touch it, that's still going to be something that's going to motivate people like in Pennsylvania to come out. That worries me, whereas
I would tell you this. If DeSantis does not reposition, and I mean soon, not just a little tilt here and there, a little head fake. He's got to go from shooting right-handed to shooting left-handed on this. He will if he's a nominee. I have to tell you, I like a lot of stuff about him. But at this current position, if he's a nominee, he's going to lose.
Yeah, it makes it very, very tough. I mean, Trump got as much done on abortion as anybody, but he never said a word about it. He just
That's the way to do it. Scott, what's your big pet peeve? Barbecue, vacation, sure. What do you have?
My biggest pet peeve is when I'm enjoying a beautiful day, the weather, and all of a sudden I'm smelling smoke or I'm smelling that other stuff that everybody's smoking now, and it just drives me crazy.
All right. Thank you, Scott. That's a good one. You guys got that back there. You got to keep score of that for me today. Marijuana he's talking about. Scott of Mount Laurel, okay? Going to ask Mayor Pete about that. He'll be here at 2 o'clock cracking down on alcohol. Marijuana is legal in Pennsylvania and Jersey, but I'm not sure where fully it's legal. Can you engage in that on the beach? Anybody going to bother you on that if you're bothering people on alcohol? Or is the theory people get fired up is what they said with alcohol, maybe not with marijuana. I don't know about that theory. So, Scott, that is a very good one. That's the side question of the day. By the way, Iowa poll out. Now, Emerson has Trump leading massively in Iowa, and Iowa's the big play. 62% of Republican voters indicated they would support Trump as the party's nominee, a 3-to-1 margin over DeSantis, who clocked in at 20%. Here's something I wanted to give you, though, out of this Iowa poll. Trump did better than DeSantis among those without a college degree. Now, I expect that would have happened. It's happened before. But he also did much better, Trump did, than DeSantis with younger voters. I'm looking here for the exact figure. Let's see. With younger voters under 35, he did much better than DeSantis. I don't know if I'm surprised at that, but that cuts well for Trump, though, that under 35, he does well. He beats DeSantis. The age thing does not matter with Trump is the point I'm trying to make, even though DeSantis is only 44. He's the one with younger voters. The new poll found Trump was preferred by Republican voters across the board. He was especially favored by those under the age of 25. 75% favored Trump under 35. That's a whopping number. And without a college degree, 70%. DeSantis is much closer among Republicans with a postgraduate degree. Very close. Economy, the number one issue in Iowa. But don't let anybody kid you. When you get into those caucuses, and I broadcast from and I was there during that in Iowa, when they're getting in there, evangelicals are a principal group, and they are very much pro-life group, more with the DeSantis position than with the position of more with DeSantis than Trump. At least on paper they are. Will that be enough? Will that push DeSantis forward a little bit? Boy, but people under 35, 75% for Trump. That's pretty good. Doug Mastriano gave us great hope yesterday by saying, nah, here's the direct quote, Dougie. At this time, we have decided not to run for the U.S. Senate, but to continue to serve in Harrisburg. I don't know if that means at some point in this cycle he'll run for the Senate. He did promise to support whomever emerges as the Republican nominee in the Senate contest. Mastriano and his wife also said their movement is not going anywhere. They'll hold an annual conference for the grassroots, etc. Apparently, he has met with the potential Dave McCormick, and I saw a couple of other names. Carla Sands, remember her? And Keith Ruffus, who was on our show the other day, is eyeing a Senate run here. He's a DeSantis guy, the guy we had on to tell you the upside of Ron DeSantis. All right? So I think it's going to be McCormick. I think McCormick will be the nominee, and I think he's got like a better than 50% chance to beat Bob Casey Jr. Okay, let's go to Frank, and Frank is in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Frank, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dom. And Dan, I'm going to make your tongue hang out. As far as barbecue, I always bring, or when I barbecue, is the French lamb chops, baby red lamb chops, marinated for 1 or 2 days. And when my son was going to Penn State, I used to have all them kids come over my house barbecuing a case of French-style lamb chops.
That's great. So what's your pet peeve there, Frank?
Pardon me?
What's your pet peeve? All right, well, thank you, Frank. Thanks, Frank. Okay, that's fine, Frank. Thanks for the call. 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. That's a side question today. Give us that pet peeve involving the kickoff of summer, vacation, the beach, and also barbecue. Any one of those areas. Scott had a good one to start us off. Jump in at 855-839-1210. So bottom line we've seen so far is that Ron DeSantis is making, here's the headline at Washington Examiner. Ron DeSantis makes a big bet with evangelicals in the presidential primaries. What's the big bet? The six-week heartbeat bill. I think his strategy seems to be, I'll get past Trump with this. It'll give me some traction in the primaries. And then I'll figure out what to do in the general election. Well, I don't see you're able to figure out what to do in the general election, because if you stick with this policy, at least the way he's enunciated it so far, it's going to be a killer in the general election. You can't wish it away. You can't say, well, why do we have to talk about abortion? Because that's what they have. That's what we're going to see play out here. All right, 855-839-1210. You get a line here on Talk Radio 1210. Coming up, we're going to talk with Joey Jones. See him on Fox News Channel, Afghan veteran. He's got a brand-new book out that we'll talk about. And Afghanistan this Memorial Day. Just think of that withdrawal and think of the difficulties. When will there be a day of reckoning on that? Well, you're starting to see veterans and others like Joey Jones' book make that point. Alan West here a little bit later in the show, Mayor Pete. But your calls, you can get in right now. Where are you, DeSantis, Trump? This has been quite a flurry early on with this. And so far, I think that we haven't seen any compelling argument on either side that I think is truthful. So that means the person in status quo that's ahead continues to see it. It's going to be interesting to see by the end of this coming week if DeSantis has gained 4 or 5 points. If he hasn't, that indicates even all this rollout. He has raised $8.2 million in the last 24 hours, though, which is a big number. All right, it is Dom time at a great spot, Farley Plaza, here today. You probably spend a half hour, 45 minutes just walking around when you make your stop to use the bathroom, whatever you do. And Chickie and Pete's behind it all. A lot of stuff for the kids. A lot of cops on horseback, free crab fries. It'll be happening up until 5, and then there's the free tolls from 5 until 6 here on the Atlantic City Expressway. It's a great spot to come out halfway to the shore, sort of halfway to the shore. All right, we're waiting on Joey Jones, brand-new book, and I'm hoping that this is the start of more emphasis on Afghanistan and the withdrawal from that. You know, when we get into the presidential election, get more deeply into it, it is one of the biggest examples, one of the most harmful things the Biden administration has done, without a doubt. When is there a reckoning on these things? You know, there's got to be COVID, this inflation. Now, a lot of talk that I don't fully agree with, that President Trump, this is DeSantis supporters, saying he can't bring up inflation. I'm looking today, and I got several throughout the show. The cost of getting to the shore. How much stuff has gone up year over year? And even April was way up over what they thought inflation would be. Barbecue supplies, a one sort or another. People are noticing it. The argument is Trump can't prosecute that because Trump spent $18 trillion during his time. That's the DeSantis argument. With Trump voters, they don't seem to care about that. And Trump will prosecute inflation on Biden. Can DeSantis make a better argument? Probably. But as far as a Trump voter on that saying, well, he can't pin that on Biden, I think they're not interested. That's a great question out there. What is it that DeSantis could do to interest those voters? And there's only one thing that should be looked at that I think he can do, and that is simply who can win. All right, that's the metric in the swing states. Nothing else really matters. These are all just arguments back and forth, maybe a little bit around the edges. All right, let's go to Richard. Richard is in Upper Darby on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Richard, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Don. So you mentioned abortion when I check in once in a while. And the only reasonable position for conservatives is to change hearts and minds. Any
yes.
other positions arbitrary.
That's- yeah, it is. Well, you know, we can hit the sweet spot. So maybe that's not even starting what you're talking about. The sweet spot is clearly beyond 15 weeks. You got all kinds of persuadables there. They're going to go with you on that. Maybe even 12 weeks is within range. I hate to be talking about it in terms of human life, but a six-week heartbeat bill is not going to work and flies in the face of a lot of conservative positions.
No, I'm married to me. I remember Roe v. Wade. It was irrelevant to me. Roe v. Wade did not require anybody to kill an unborn child. I'm all about changing hearts and minds, and I think that's the only position the conservatives have a chance to move the needle.
Well, what does that mean, though? Where do you start at? Well, what do you say when you're asked about what you would do if you're in position? What limitations would you be pushing for?
I'm looking for alternative to killing 200,000 unborn black babies every year. Changing hearts and minds is the only way to do that.
All right, so you don't believe they ought to stipulate you can't have an abortion, limitations on abortion, then, other than persuading people?
That's my position, Dom. I'm there, and I believe in it, and I pray on it. I don't want to tell somebody what to do. I don't want to put anybody in jail. I pray on it, and I believe that if we can change hearts and minds, we can move the needle, yes.
All right, thank you. Thanks very much. Well, I think there's a political part to this that is much more relevant as far as what is it that is the limitation you would place on. It's got to be a starting point. So Joey Jones scheduled to be with us to talk about his new book on Afghanistan.
Joey Jones is going to be 1 p.m. today, Dom. We moved him back to 1. He'll be with us at that time.
Okay. All right. And this Memorial Day, when our attention turns toward those that have given the ultimate sacrifice, one of the things to do along those lines to make that sacrifice, and it's a tough task to redeem a sacrifice, be it Vietnam, be it Iraq, be it Afghanistan, wars like that, is the honor we give is our attention as we turn toward Memorial Day. But it's also what we did in Afghanistan, as bad as the situation was overall, as many mistakes as were made, the withdrawal over that period of time by the Biden administration is bigger than just Afghanistan. It's the face of this guy and his administration. I'll ask Joey Jones about that at 1 o'clock because I'm seeing this year more people focusing on that around veterans, around Memorial Day, and those sacrifices. And certainly what was done there should not go away. Also, we've kind of dabbled in talking about Ron DeSantis' military service, and I'm seeing people caution him not to bring it up too much. You can overdo it, but he did serve in Iraq. He did volunteer. He did get the Bronze Star. Those are all things I don't understand why you would have to downplay that. In the past, both candidates usually had military experience. And you may have, Ro told me too, she picked up listening yesterday, that this is a big deal. DeSantis would be the first person, commander-in-chief if elected, who served in a combat zone, Fallujah, in uniform, since Herbert Walker Bush. That's how much of a rarity it's become. How much does that count as we count down toward Memorial Day? I would say it should count as a whole lot. You know, and I don't hear, some people are upset hearing that. Well, why would that count? Maybe if you've been in the military, you honor the military, particularly as we move toward Memorial Day, you might be able to explain why it does count, particularly in these times. Someone willing to volunteer and put it on the line, I think, that goes a long way with me. And DeSantis, to my knowledge, I'm going through in my head, and this happens a lot, is the only candidate right now. Let's go through on the Democrat side, you know, purported candidates. Mayor Pete is the only other one, but it's Biden. And on the Republican side, I'd have to think of some of the more minor candidates. But by and large, he's the only one that fits that criteria. How is it that does not count for something, the choice he made versus the other candidates? Now, you can say how much it matters or not, but it used to matter a whole lot. And I had David Petraeus, back when I was really friendly with him, ask me if he ran for president, would that count? And I told him then, let's see, would that have been during the Obama administration, I guess? I said, it still counts for a good bit. If you're a general, particularly somebody like that, it still counts. Now, I don't know. So, DeSantis is going to be talking about this, and it will be interesting to hear the response of the other candidates. But I haven't heard from too many people on this. I think some people, they get kind of antsy about this. Because if we honor the mill, I mean, look at Fox today. It's watching Fox and Friends. Look at Talk Radio 1210. Look at our points of emphasis. Look at who I'm bringing on. Look at what Rich and Nick and Dawn do every day. Look at who we support, we honor, we go out of our way, reminders. Military, police, fire, and the like. Why? Well, it's obvious. I think some people are afraid of that because they think it gives DeSantis an edge. All I'm doing is telling you about it, and I think it's going to come up more and more, and I think it is a big deal. It is a choice to make that type of choice that few people make. We know those numbers, and particularly in a place like Fallujah. Now, he was working with the SEALs. He wasn't a SEAL. He was more intelligence and law. But he was in harm's way in a place like Fallujah. Let's go to 855-839-1210. You get on board. Let's go to Dave in South Philly. Dave, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Dave. Good afternoon. Yo, Dave.
Hi, Dom.
Hi.
Yeah, do you have me?
Yeah.
I think the Republicans are unnecessarily getting into the weeds, especially Trump at the CNN town hall meeting when they asked him if, you know, in limited weeks, would he ban sign an abortion bill? I think the most conservative thing to say is to say, I'm just going to leave it up to the states. The Supreme Court already decided it. And our founding fathers, that's the way they wanted it. And they've handed, actually, the Supreme Court handed Republican candidates a favor by doing that. And DeSantis can also take the conservative position to say, as governor of a state, I signed the law.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait, I'll cut to the chase, Dave. That's not going to fly with DeSantis. Dave, do you really think people are going to let that alone when they see one guy, whatever he was doing as governor, whatever, and he's talked about it, that he protects life, heartbeat bill, et cetera, and the other guy is Joe Biden on the other extreme. You're not going to get away with it that way, Dave. I don't know why you would think that. The Republicans will not get over Ron DeSantis. Trump has done a better job on it. You're going to have to address it in a better way. You can't wish it away.
Well, I think,
it won't go away.
I think that's the only way DeSantis can mitigate what he did in Florida on abortion.
That's what
I did as a state governor.
Right.
And this is what I would do as a federal president. Leave it up to the states.
But he's not saying that. That's not his play. I hear what you're saying, and I still think that's the way he would get away with it is not to sign a 6-week heartbeat bill. If you do, it's over to me. Unless he completely repositions here, Dave. I'm sorry, but just look at what happened during the midterms. It was like a Taylor Swift concert. And what was the draw of young women in the suburbs, et cetera? They told them, this person is going to stop abortion. This poor woman in Delaware County running for that state seat said a woman has a right to choose. They killed her. They spent $1 million with the governor, just a state reps race, beating her down every day. Republicans have to have a conference on this, got to come to a better understanding on this. They will not go away on it. We can say all day it's not fair, and I agree. There's many other issues, but that's what will happen.
Well, I think Trump, that would be a good approach for Trump, though, because I kind of cringed at the CNN town hall meeting when he said he would negotiate something. I'm like, just leave it the way it is.
Okay. Dave, you got a pet peeve for us?
Sure. In the summertime, I have a built-in pool, and when people come over, I warn them, bring your own towels. I'm not your housekeeper.
Oh, wait a minute, guys. Make sure you write that one down. Bring your own towels. He's not providing towels at the pool.
Nope.
I got to put that up for a vote if I could get to Twitter here, whether that's hospitality or not. I hear you. That's
some people are hairy and their body hair is clean to the towels and everything. I don't want that in my washer.
thank you. All right. Anthony DiRenzo, that's got to be the leader in the clubhouse, isn't it? Bring your own towels.
Yes, that's definitely the leader right there.
Yeah, that's a pet peeve. I didn't think we'd get one that good early on. All right, 855-839-1210. Jump in right now. Coming up, we'll get more of your calls. 1 o'clock, we're going to talk with Joey Jones. And again, this could be a good time, a lot of people starting a bit later. If you're saying, should we stop off at Farley Plaza this year or not? Nah, we'll make it to the stop off. Come on in. There's just all kinds of things to do for the kids. Great farmer's market, Chickie and Pete's crab fries. You got to turn off for that. I mean, you could be on a diet. You can't resist that. That is just, I can't eat on the air. So let's hope for a long break here. Something happens. But stop on by, say hello. 855-839-1210, though. We'll declare a winner on the side question today. And then right before the end of the show, we'll have Captain Chuckie's for the whole week. Thanks to Dr. Bentz, too, for bringing us the side question of the day. Don't forget Dr. Bentz, 610-272-6949. Joining us here at the Farley Plaza is Stephen Dougherty from the STJA, the executive director. All right, what's the STJA, Stephen?
So it stands for South Jersey Transportation Authority. We own and operate Atlantic City Expressway, Atlantic City Airport, as well as shuttle service in the six southern counties here.
Now, usually, I would say if I had someone in your position in the seat that I'd be grilling them about the roads or whatever, but I would be going back on many years of talking about the single best road. And I often say, I don't know about you, the car just sits on it, even at 75, is the Atlantic City Expressway, without a doubt. It's just a tremendous road. And I don't see, you know, the maintenance bothering people too much. There are some spots where people often ask. There's one where that three lanes goes into two coming back from the shore to the city. When are they going to get done with this stuff? It seems like some age-old. What's the longest project going on, say, with the Atlantic City Expressway and the like?
It's that one, actually, right
is
now.
Okay.
So we just awarded a contract a few months back for preliminary engineering design and environmental work. We got folks out there every day. Of course, trying to minimize the effect on the traffic.
Okay.
We're not going to, of course, have anybody out here this weekend, and we do tone it down a little bit in the summer, but we're definitely out there working every day. We're going to go third lane from mile marker 31 at Winslow Township all the way up to mile marker 44 where it dumps on the Route 42. An additional lane in each direction, three lanes, so that the entire terminus will be three lanes moving forward.
Well, I love that language, terminus, when it's good, too. That's good stuff. Now, this is today kicking off 100 days of summer, and this is the first year I've been at Farley in a while where the weather was this good that we're outside able to do this, and it is spectacular today. Literally, there have been hundreds of people that have come through here more than just to use the bathroom. So what's the 100 days of summer?
Yeah, it's a couple things. So every year we put this event together, which celebrates our summer season, our peak season, reminding folks, one, to be safe on the road and have a safe summer, but as well as just enjoy getting to the to their final destination at the various points on the Jersey Shore. And I'm going to stop today. It is a beautiful day out here. We've literally had so many people come through. It's exciting. We just did an event with John Elliott, who's part of the Hero Campaign, promoting designated drivers. Mm-hmm. His son was lost a few years back. He's done a terrific partnership with the state police here on the expressway, as well as local police departments here in South Jersey and otherwise.
The Atlantic City International Airport, and I assume international because I don't think I've ever flown into that, and I've flown into a lot of different airports. there's something going on there right now. What's happening there that we should know about?
Yeah, so we got an exciting program that started off last June, June 1. We're getting ready to celebrate 1 year. It's a little bit unique from your usual air travel. What will happen is you'll park at the parking garage. You'll go through ticketing. Go through okay. TSA, you'll go up to your gate, but instead of going on the jet bridge to get on the plane, you'll go downstairs, down the steps to the tarmac, where you will hop on a secure charter bus, top-of-the-line charter bus with a company called Landline, once again in partnership with American Airlines. It will drive you up the expressway to Philadelphia International. It'll park on the secure side of the airfield there. You'll be able to get off the bus, go up into the terminal, and fly to over 90 destinations that American provides.
So how do people, where do they go to learn more about that? American Airlines or the, best place to go?
Yeah, you can book it through American Airlines. You're just going to put in your destination city or either depart or mm-hmm. arrive for Atlantic City, ACY, and you get your ticket through them or through our website, acairport.com.
Well, great day again here, and I mean that about the Atlantic City Expressway. I don't just say that. It's stunning. What is it that makes it that good of a road? I mean, we're used to, you're over here, but I mean, I'm used to the Schuylkill Expressway, you can imagine, and things like that. So when you're on a road like that, you notice the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's the people. It's yeah. the people I work with, the people I'm so fortunate to have as part of the team here. Every day we got folks out picking up trash, of course, reminding people to be safe. We take a lot of pride in it, and mm-hmm. We're just, and I should say, too, people have options. They could take the Black Horse or the White Horse Pike. So, you know, we want right. to provide a great customer service experience. Once again, with the widening and some other projects we're working on, we think it's the safest and most efficient for folks. And hopefully we get a good summer. I know we'll get a good day out here so far today.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see you next year. Congratulations on another great year.
It's always
Thank
good
you.
To be
Thanks
with
for
you.
Joining
Thank you.
Us.
Always good
Thank
to see you.
You. Thank you.
Have a great summer. Be safe.
Stephen Dougherty joining us, Executive Director of the South Jersey Transportation Authority here on Talk Radio 1210. Coming up, we've caught up with Joey Jones, and we'll talk with him about the end of the Afghan War. That's what his book's about, the bonds he had with Farrell. You know that he lost both limbs, both legs in that conflict. He's got a brand-new book out. And I saw the point of emphasis in this in interviews that he's done. What about Afghanistan? You know, that, and particularly the withdrawal from Afghanistan. You don't get away with something like that. There's got to be accountability. And that accountability is political. Not just to be politics, but to reward those that do the right things and are capable, and to hold accountable those who don't. Big 1 o'clock hour, Alan West joining us. We'll tell you what's good on TV over Memorial Day. And get in on that side question. I love it. The guy who said, you got to bring your own towel to his pool. That's all straight ahead here on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.